You know what they say, there's a first for everything, bro. Like your first steps, your first dance moves, your first words. Dada!
Hey, would you look at that? We gotta get some milk. I'll be right back.
Your first stepdad? New dada?
Yeah, nah. I'm ahead of two, actually.
And your first kiss. Man, the things I would do to go back and completely erase that shit from existence. Bro, all these Disney movies I was seeing as a kid had these first kisses turning ugly-ass frogs into some fucking giga chat. And shit, like, spoiler alert, fucking ribbon. On top of that, the fact you have to close your eyes, like, bro, imagine you're learning how to golf and you're about to take your first swing and these motherfuckers are like,
yeah, now do it with your eyes closed.
Bro, this is my first time. What do you expect to happen? Like, honestly, my first kiss is top 5 worst chains moments of all time, and let's just say it's not 5 or 4 Or 3. That shit was really bad, bro. So with that being said, this story takes place in grade 7, which is the year I got my first girlfriend. Now, I told this story a few months back, but I purposely left out the part of my first kiss. Well, gosh diddly darn, Chains. Why would you do such a preposterous thing? And the truth is, I was planning on taking this shit to the grave with me, bro, but fuck it. Sometimes you just gotta let the world know.
Okay, you're right. I got something to get off my chest.
Epstein? Wait, what the? So for the homies who haven't seen the video, one day me, Bob, and Billy were mobbing around our local mall when we seen these 3 girls from our class. So we walk up to them and lay down some of the meanest 12-year-old riz these girls had ever seen. Hey, yo, shorty, I think I just shit my pants. Can I get into yours?
What the fuck?
Oh, shit. My bad. My fault. Hey, yo, shorty, are you a cigarette?
Am I a cigarette? What?
Cause I'm trying to get lit and put your butt in my mouth.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Please. Holy shit, bro. Let me guess. You all got restraining orders.
No. Worse.
We got fucking girlfriends. And 12-year-old me had no business dating nobody, bruh. Like, my dumbass could barely even handle playing Fortnite with a girl. Like, oh, hey, GamerGirl97.
Hey.
I'm kind of low. Can I chug on your junk?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Whoa, I mean, I just want to slurp on your juice.
Ew.
No, I'm sorry. Ew. I mean, like, I need heels. Can I trade you? What do you need?
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you could give me some mats?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to give you my wood.
Huh?
Or bricks. Or metal. Or anything you need,
okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't have a shotgun yet.
Oh, shit, I got 3.
Okay.
I can give you 2 pumps.
Ew.
Or no, it's 1 pump.
No,
wait. Oh, sorry, I can give you shotguns, I mean.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in this little wood fort I made.
Oh, okay, I see you. Let me come in your box.
What?
So needless to say, every single interaction I had with my girlfriend was awkward as shit. Because I had to pre-plan things to say in my head, and as soon as that shit went off script... I was cooked.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
Honestly, just not the best.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do today?
Oh, I don't know. Just did my makeup.
Hey, me too.
You did your makeup?
Yeah, we have so much in common. Have a nice day.
Fuck!
And on one Friday after school, me, Bob, Billy, and our girlfriends all went to the mall together, as we did every single day. But on this specific Friday, we rubbed together a few brain cells and realized,
yo, do you got money?
Nah.
You got money?
Zero.
You got money?
I'm broke.
You got money?
No.
You got money?
Yo. Why are we at the mall?
I don't know. I mean, we could all go to my house.
Yeah.
What
are you doing? And so, of course, as the good kid I was, I text my mom to ask her to go. Greetings, mother. I would like to know if it's in the realm of possibility that you'd be so kind to grant me your permission to visit the household of my dearest acquaintance, Nikki. Looking forward to hearing from you, your favorite son, Chains. And I immediately get a call.
Let me speak to her parents.
Now, I, Chains for real, have never dated a 12-year-old boy in my life, and I honestly don't plan on it. But even in grade 7, I could use my logic and reasoning skills to understand if your boyfriend had to get his mom to talk to your friend's mom for permission to slide to the crib. Instant ick, bro. There's just no way. She'd probably break up with me on the spot. So I'm doing anything I can to not let that happen.
Hey there, Miss For Real. This is Nikki's mom. I just wanted to let you know Chains and his friends are welcome over anytime because they're...
Because they're goaded with the sauce. Shit.
Oh, hey, Nikki's mom. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you over all this bullshit. You're not allowed at her house. Come home now.
James, are you coming?
Look, Mom, I'm not gonna lie. You gotta lock the fuck in right now. This is the first time in my life I ever been invited to a girl's house and there's cheeks up for grabs.
Like, Mom, this is my only opportunity. If you don't let me go, the for real bloodline might just end with me.
Okay, listen, Chains. I'll let you go this time, but you have to be home at 9 p.m. sharp.
Yay, thank you so much, Mom.
Now I'm paraphrasing, but the point is she let me go with a curfew of 9 p.m. So all six of us leave the mall, hop on the bus, and get off at Nikki's house. We go inside, sit on the couch, and now... It's even more awkward, bruh, because instead of walking around the mall, all we had to entertain ourselves was ourselves. And just like any other awkward middle school scenario, that shit went like...
Truth or dare?
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
And my heart instantly dropped, bro. Cause I knew if I picked dare, I would have to kiss Jessica and shit, bro. That's a whole lot scarier than playing Fortnite with GamerGirl97. But regardless, Nikki starts the game of truth or dare.
Hey Billy, truth or dare?
Truth.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, what? This shit's not even bad.
Okay, then, Chains, truth or dare?
Truth.
No. What do you mean, no? It's truth or dare.
I said truth or dare.
What the fuck?
Okay, fine, dare. You have to kiss Jessica.
Bro, this time it wasn't a pickup line. When I say I just shit my pants. I mean, not literally, but metaphorically, I was shitting bricks, bro. And when I turned to Jessica, she's just sitting there straight-faced as fuck.
So, Jessica, are you down? like hypothetically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in. Sorry. Sorry. Let me just,
Alright, bro, I'm not gonna lie, this is fucking weird. You guys were just watching and shit, like, I don't know, it's just kinda...
Oh, so if we weren't watching, you'd do it?
Yeah, I would actually. Wait, what the fuck?
Every single one of these motherfuckers ran to the corner and started staring at the wall, like...
Did you do it yet?
We're not looking till you do it.
Yo, hurry up, dumbass.
So now I got all this pressure on me to do this shit, but Jessica's out here looking at me like... Hey, how was your day?
Yo, shut the fuck
up. Just kiss her already.
What are you yapping about?
And I deadass didn't know how to go about it. I ended up sitting on this couch nervous as hell, awkward as hell, looking stupid as fuck for 20 minutes, bruh. Now, 20 minutes in general doesn't sound that long, but imagine sitting on a couch in complete silence with everyone just... Bro, just watch this.
My brother in Christ. That was 10 seconds, bruh. Imagine doing that times 120. So after the second longest 20 minutes of my life, I say,
you know what? Fuck it.
And Nikki's mom walks in the room.
Hey, who wants snacks? Oh.
And at this point, I checked my shitty-ass Samsung Galaxy 3, and it was already 8:50 p.m. And with a curfew of 9, I had no choice but to lock in. So I lick my lips, close my eyes, and real quick, I smash our mouths together. And when I turn around, not a single motherfucker is facing the wall. I look the other way, and Nikki's mom is peeking around the corner with her fucking mac and cheese and shit. So I made like my pops, and I was out that hoe.
Pleasure doing business, Jessica.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Thanks for having me, Nikki's mom.
What the hell was that?
And I proceeded to sprint home, making it home at 8:59, exactly 1 minute before my curfew. And that night, when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep, bro. I haven't been able to sleep since. Damn, I should have taken this shit to the grave with me. Fuck! Hey you, do you ever feel like you're losing control? Like your wife and kids don't listen to you anymore? Like you can't even give your own dog commands? Well, I got just the thing for you.
War Thunder!
It's a beautifully crafted free-to-play game on PC, consoles, and mobile devices where you can command over 2,500 tanks, planes, helicopters, and ships of 10 major nations, okay? Like who even needs a wife or kids when you're telling tanks what to do?
But change, it's a game. It's not even real life.
Bro, these graphics are literally better than my real life eyesight. I feel completely and undeniably immersed right now. And these sound effects are so good. My grandpa's over in the corner getting PTSD. Yeah, nah. Now, that last part was a joke. But, like, my grandpa's doing just fine, but the sound effects are really good, though. And the best part is, when you get this game, you're joining a community of over 70 million players, so you can meet some new tank homies. And if there's anyone you don't like, you can just blow them. blow them up. You can just blow them into smithereens.
War Thunder.
Get it now free with the links in the description for a massive bonus pack on PC and consoles that will give you premium vehicles so you can absolutely dominate the competition.
Yo, I love you guys. Back to the video.
Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work, knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story. Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school, no. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentlemen, I had realized, damn, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. What? You mean like talk to them? Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP. It's Bob! So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. And on this Thursday at 8 p.m, Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now, if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation. Fuck. Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. Alright, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance. Fuck, that's not good. Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you? Yeah, same. We're good. And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction. Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool. Whew,
That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah. Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, we do, yeah. We do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious. Really?
Mm-mm. Take them off,
then. Yes, right. Sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet. Now, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk.
Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared. Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay. He's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. Huh. I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we're at the dance, and I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So, like, do you want to dance?"
"Yeah, sure."
It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand. So I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So, the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro. Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown-ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
"Damn, what do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?"
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
"Oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words."
"Yeah."
"Oh, let's hear it. Yo."
"Yo, Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G."
"Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?"
No,
I probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking, "Yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?" And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
"Yeah, yeah, she's right there."
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"Psst, no, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific Nut Break, you best believe me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me? Nah, it's nobody. It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me? Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to No. No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I
did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit, here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no.
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
not
jiggle.
Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office, right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word. We had Nut Break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again. "Psst, Tessa wants her vape back."
"Vape? What vape?"
The one I handed you this morning, you know, it was purple.
Oh, that vape. Oh, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.,
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, "Can I use that vape for the day?" And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
When you link a girl and you both bring a friend. Man, what could possibly be better than a two-man mission?
Three-man mission.
And when you go on a three-man mission, you need to be able to trust those homies with your life, bro. Cause I don't know why, but 100% of the time you go on a three-man mission, somebody's gotta take one for the team, bro. Like, it's just inevitable. And if your homie isn't willing to eat the shit sandwich in order to see the gang succeed, the entirety of the gang is eating the shit sandwich, bro. And on top of that, you need your homies to have your back when you crack a shitty ass joke. Cause if you're in a group of six people and not a soul laughs, nah, you're done, bro. Like, you're cooked. You're sauteed, bro. Like, pack it up. It's over with. Like, yo, guys, what do you get when you mix human DNA with goat DNA? Oh my god, what do you get? Wait, no, let me guess. I don't know. What do you get?
Kicked out the petting zoo.
Fuck, I sold.
Actually, that's a really good joke.
Facts.
Wait, it was?
And lucky for me, I got the two most perfect dudes for the job. Bob and Billy, so you know we were no strangers to the game. Like, we had 99 chemistry, bro. We were like Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman, setting up these plays, passing, alley-ooping, and dunking that shit. In these streets, they called us the real big three, and one day, the real big three hopped on a plane to Mexico. And this story takes place way, 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 way back. Like a month ago. And this story doesn't just contain one three-man. Not two three-mans, but three different three-man missions. And with these three different chances, will me, Bob, and Billy be able to find love in Mexico? Or will we get set up and kidnapped by the cartel? Find out coming up on this episode of Billy, Bob, and Chains.
Wait a minute.
So, boom! We get to Mexico and we're staying at an Airbnb, so we start with all the essentials. We unpack, get some food, check out the rooms, download Tinder, play some music, get settled in, you know, shit like that. And some of you may be thinking, damn, Chains, Tinder? Shit, I didn't know you were down bad like that.
And let me just clear this up, alright? I'm not, okay?
I'm down horrendous. And you really don't know me at all if you thought I was gonna leave Mexico without running a three-man with the homies. So I'm just doing what I gotta do. Don't hate the player, hate the game. So we got there on a Monday, and for the first few days, we're exploring, we're trying some food, going to the beaches. It's great, you know, a bunch of nice and relaxing shit. But at night, it was grind time, bro. I was swiping more than a girl with daddy's money, and I was shooting more shots than Drizzy Drake.
at his local middle school. So by the time Thursday rolled around, I secured the first
3-man mission
of the trip. And when I told the boys, they were hyped as fuck. I mean, Bob was so excited, dude almost made a facial expression. So before we went out, we had to get teed up. And lucky for us, we spent half our food budget on a few bottles of vodka. So we're absolutely down in that shit until our Uber pulls up. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off by some bars where we plan to meet the girls. Now keep in mind, at this point, all I've seen of this girl is pictures. And you know there's a brutal catfishing epidemic going on. So let's just say it's completely in the realm of possibility that I set up a link with 3 big buff Mexican dudes. And Lord knows I'm crossing my fingers. like hopefully there's like no big buff Mexican. I don't want the big buff Mexican dude. So my heart dropped to my balls when I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around to see a not so buff Mexican dude with another not so buff Mexican dude with the 3 girls.
Oh, no, don't worry. These are just my friends, by the way.
Hey.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, what's up?
And not only was I relieved that she wasn't a jack dude, but she was fine, nice, and she spoke English. Same with Bob's girl and Billy.
Yeah, nah, he had to take one for the team for sure.
Hey, bro, I'm sorry, but this is just the way the cookie crumbled.
Shit, bro, can we get another cookie?
It's too late, bro, it's already crumbled. And Billy took that shit like a champ, bro. So all 8 of us go to a bar and we're just talking, getting to know each other and shit. And I notice Billy just keeps the tequila shots coming. I mean, we were only 10 minutes into the conversation, but this dude is 10 shots deep at this point. And all of a sudden, this dude starts laying down that Google Translate riz and he's dropping hard emojis and shit, and I'm like, damn, respect. I mean, he's taking this extremely well. And after about 30 minutes of talking to this girl, I look over at Billy and I start to see some wild ass emojis being thrown around. Like,
oh shit, Bob. Yo, I think Billy forgot he's the one taking one for the team.
So me and Bob cut him off of the tequila, and then my girl is like,
hey, do you guys want to come over to our place?
Yeah, hell yeah!
Is he alright?
Yeah, he's fine. So we hop in their whip and go to their crib. And at this point, it's getting kinda late. So we're just chilling, listening to music and things of that nature. When me and Bob realize Billy and his girl are nowhere to be seen. So I turn to Bob and I'm like,
yo, should we stop him?
Damn, bro, you're right. We can't let him do that shit. And listen, bro, I've never been the type of dude to cock block, but if it's the homie who's about to interlock with the chalk chick at this o'clock, I'll walk up, knock and lock, and block that cock if I have to. And so I did just that. I walked up, knocked, of course, unlocked the door, and respectfully, I blocked that cock.
Yo, what are you doing?
I'm taking one for the team, remember?
Nah, I think the team's doing just fine,
but
bro.
You know me. I was gotta do it for the team, like for
nah,
the...
Nah, I don't think the team needs this one, gang.
No, remember? I'm supposed to be, like, taking it for the team, like, this is for the...
Yeah, you right.
Let's just go home, Billy.
No, wait. Well, how are we gonna get home? We're in Mexico.
Man, shut the...
So we said our goodbyes, got in the Uber, and man... I felt like a basketball coach whose son just lost to a special needs team, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. I had a lot of tequila tonight. I'm sorry. I just...
Billy, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Damn, bro.
And the next morning we woke up and I'm not gonna lie, we felt it a little bit, especially Billy. Billy was in physical and mental agony, but we have a secret method to get rid of any hangover instantly. It's called vodka. So we're practically eating this bottle for breakfast, and once everyone was healed up, we hit the beach and had a fantastic day. It was stupendous, really, and once the sun started to set, we got some food, and man, it was gas, bro. I had the best nachos of my life, and as I'm consuming this orgasmic meal, I get a little notification on my phone from a new girl.
Yo, you got any friends?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hell yup.
Then she's like,
I'm going out with some friends tonight. You guys should come.
And I'm like, hell yup. And just like that, we secured our second
3-man mission.
So we absolutely had douse that fucking meal, go back to the crib, get ready, tee up, you know the drill. We hop in the Uber and get dropped off in the same area where the clubs and bars are to meet these girls. And when we get there, Bob and Billy are both praying they don't gotta take one for the team this time. And I'm there just chilling like, yo, this is why I set up the three mans, cause then I never have to take one for the team.
Chains, is that you?
Shit. Who's asking?
It's me, Sarah.
Oh, no way. Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. You must be looking for the other Chains. No, don't worry. This happens all the time.
Oh, no. Chains for real. Yeah, look at this. This is you.
Oh, fuck. Would you look at that? I guess it is me. Fuck.
Like, shit, I don't know how she did it, but she got my ass, bro. I got catfished nicely.
But I guess it was just my turn to take one for the team. And I look up at who she brought, and she pulled up with four straight dimes for the homies to choose from. Like, bro,
why me?
So we're walking, and the girl I'm temporarily associated with is like,
hey, let's go to the club.
Yeah, let's go.
So we go to this club, eight people deep, and the girls are like,
yeah, let's buy a bottle.
Yeah. Where's your money?
¿Qué? No entiendo.
Wait, I could have swore you spoke English.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fluent for sure, yeah.
You said you wanted a bottle, right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you got bottle money?
Ah, no entiendo, no hablo inglés.
And now I'm starting to get the vibe that whole time, these girls just wanted a free bottle. And as soon as I start catching on, she starts upping her game, like,
oh my god, you're so strong, look at these muscles.
So I go to give Billy one of those side eyes, and when I look over, these motherfuckers are completely lost. In the sauce.
Yeah, I'm buying a bottle, everyone. Bottles on me.
So Billy pulls me aside like,
yo, we gotta split a bottle, bruh.
Nah, I'm really not fucking with this girl.
Come on, bruh, please. I need it, bruh. Just take one for the team. Come on, take one for the team.
Alright, bruh, I'll split it with you.
Thank you, bro.
I got you.
So are you guys getting a bottle?
Yeah. We're getting a bottle.
Oh my god, you're so strong and you're a baller.
Yeah.
Baller, the fuck?
I don't know, bruh. She's weird as hell.
Yo, can I get a bottle for this table?
Yeah, for sure. What do you want?
Listen, bruh. Just give me the cheapest shit you got.
Oh, I feel you, bruh. Times are tough, you know? That'll be 1,100.
God damn. That's a lot of pesos, bruh.
Pesos?
Yeah, like 1,100. That's a lot of pesos.
Nah, amigo, that's USD. Plus $500 to walk into you with the Chicago fee of $350. And for the tip, it'll
just cost you your left testicle.
No, that's my favorite nut, bruh.
Yo, Billy, we don't got it like that.
Yeah, hell nah. Let's just not get it, bruh. At least these girls are already fucking with us without it, though, right?
Yeah, facts. Yo, we're not gonna get the bottle.
Oh, why not?
You can just
buy it. It's not that big a deal.
Nah. It's cause we, we don't got enough money.
They fucking dipped, bro.
Quick as hell, too. They all just evacuated,
bruh. No, bruh. That was my wifey.
And I'm just over here thinking, damn, I'm just glad I didn't have to see that shit through, bruh.
But Billy, yeah, he was really going through it.
Until he got distracted by some other random girls in the club. So at this point, all three of us are on the dance floor, absolutely fucking that shit up, when I start getting spammed on my phone. So I go to check who it is, and it's the gold digger girl, like,
hey, we all went to the club right beside it, but we can all split this bottle. It'll be $86 per person, plus tip, that'll be $95 each.
And she's literally telling me the whole price breakdown of this bottle. She pretty much just sent my ass an invoice. And I'm like, hell nah, I don't care if that shit would have been free. There is no way I'm ever gonna see this girl ever again. And then I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's three big buff Mexican dudes.
I'm just playing. It was the gold digger girl, but this time I probably would have preferred the buff dudes.
Cause this girl grabs me by the arm, pulls me outside with all her homies, and starts breaking down the price again.
Okay, the bottle is $700, but you just gotta pay $95 each, okay?
Yeah, we're in. Let's do it.
No, what? Billy, chill.
So I call an emergency meeting with the homies, and we huddle up, and I'm like, listen, you guys can go with them if you want, but there's no way I'm going and paying for this girl's bottle.
Fuck that, bro. You're right. We could find something better for sure.
So we jump ship. Absolutely abort mission.
Yo, what's that over there?
I'm not stupid. I'm not falling for that shit.
Nah, is that Jeff Bezos handing out free bottles to catfishes?
Wait, what? Where?
So we evacuate and start roaming the streets when I get a tap on my shoulder. I take a deep breath.
turnaround. And it's the girls from the OG3, man. Like, oh my god, Chains, what are the chances?
Yo, what's up?
And me and Bob are hyped, but Billy's over here having traumatic anime flashbacks and shit.
You guys should come with us. We know the best spot here.
Oh shit, yeah. Bet. Fuck. So they take us to this club bar thing, and it's fucking bumping, but as soon as we get inside, Billy disappears, bro. And I don't even blame him. He's staying as far away from this girl as possible, not because he's scared of what she's gonna do, but because deep down, he's scared of what he might do. But regardless, me and Bob continue to respectfully obliterate the dance floor for about an hour straight, and then the girls are like,
hey, it's getting kinda late, so we're gonna head out now.
I bet. Wait.
Yeah.
And once me and Bob had officially decimated the dance floor beyond repair, we realized there's an upstairs that leads to a balcony. So of course me and Bob go to explore that shit. And as we walk out onto the balcony, we see Billy with this one girl who looks our age, who happens to have a friend who also looks our age. And once again, Billy is absolutely laying down that Google Translate riz, but this time he's really cooking. So me and Bob start talking to her friend named Mia. I get her Instagram, and then Billy's like, all right, let's go. The Uber's here.
Uber? Uber to where?
Oh, yeah, nah, my bad. I forgot to tell you, but Camilla and me are coming back to the B&B.
What the fuck?
Don't you think we gotta discuss shit like that?
Nah.
Bro, what?
All right, Uber's here, let's go.
So Billy and the girls go to the Uber, but me and Bob stay back to discuss what the actual fuck is going on right now.
Yo, this is a bad idea, right?
But we can't let them do this shit alone. Shit, Bob. Do we even have a choice? So we leave the bar and start walking to the Uber when this girl stops me and she's like,
hi, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Chains. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Sophia.
And Sophia's trying to make some small talk and shit like that, but Billy's already waiting in the Uber, so I'm like,
well, it was nice to meet you, but I gotta go.
Oh, well, let me get your Instagram real quick.
So I give her my phone, she follows herself, and then gives me my phone back. And when I lay my eyes on the screen, I realize we have a mutual. And I'm just surprised, because we're in Mexico, bruh. So I go to check who it is, and it's Mia. And at this moment, everything started piecing itself together to make our third
three-man mission.
So I'm like,
yo, you know Mia?
Oh, Mia? That's like my best friend. Why?
Word? You mean this Mia?
No, oh my god, way. Mia!
So Sophia hops in the whip, and we're all just talking, and then Mia says,
yeah, so like, we don't have work tomorrow.
Oh, shit. Do you guys work together?
Yeah, we do.
Damn, what do you guys do?
Oh, you know, we dance.
What, where do you guys dance?
Like in the club?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's what's up. Yo, how old are you guys, by the way?
21.
24.
25.
Damn! Sorry, do you guys happen to have any, you guys happen to have kids by chance?
Of course, I have two.
I have a baby boy.
I have
boy.
Bobby,
one of them is
year old.
You know,
boy, I also have two daughters.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yo, Bob, you think it's too late to, you know, abort mission? And I don't know how, but none of that information seemed to faze Billy in the slightest. Cause now he's out here making out with this girl, like, fuck them kids, bro. And the whole car ride, I'm just thinking,
what the fuck is going on, bro?
But soon enough, we arrive. We all hop out of the whip, go to our B&B, put in the code for the lockbox, get the key, unlock the door, and go inside. Now for context, the crib had two couches and a master bedroom. And that bedroom is where I used to sleep, and I say used to because as soon as we got to the B&B, Billy and Camila went straight to my room and start playing patty cake. Loud as hell too, and so all of us are just sitting on the couch like,
hola, ¿cómo estás?
Fuck. And this motherfucker, Billy, was just making up for every single time he had to take one for the team. And after the longest 20 minutes of my life, Billy walks out of the room smiling from ear to ear like,
what? Well, why's everyone looking at me? Shit, you guys could hear that?
Then Billy cops the girls an Uber, they dip, and I'm looking at Billy like,
bro, what
Like, what the actual fuck just happened?
Hey, man, listen. It's just the way the cookie crumbled.
Nah, bro, you are crazy.
And at this point, it was probably 4 a.m. or something. So I go to my room to look at where I'm supposed to sleep. And there's a bunch of lubed up rappers on my bed. And I'm not talking Diddy. So needless to say, after a long night, I slept on the couch. And we all woke up rotten, bro. So rotten, even the vodka method wouldn't work. So we decided if anything could make us feel better, it would be a plate of the world's best nachos. So we get ready, leave the crib, and then Billy's like,
yo, who's got the key?
Shit, I don't got it.
Bob, you got it?
I mean, it's probably on the counter where we always put it, right?
Yeah, facts.
We check the counter, it's not there. We check the tables, not there. We check the couches, bedroom, kitchen, nowhere to be seen. So we scavenged the entirety of the Airbnb. We even looked through every single bag of garbage and it was nowhere.
Bro, did those girls finesse our key?
Nah, Camilla wouldn't do some shit like that.
She would, bro.
Yeah,
you don't even know.
Bro,
no,
this
she
is
wouldn't.
Your
How
fault?
Would you
know her? You
don't
know her, bro. I know her better
club.
Than you know her.
All right, chill.
Mia texted me. She said, let's go to the pool today.
Oh shit, Camilla texted me the same thing.
Damn.
And in my head, I'm thinking about it and I'm putting everything together.
Shit.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
These girls stole the key and invited us to the pool so the crib would be empty so they could get three big buff Mexican dudes to pull up and loot the crib.
Fuck, I knew it.
Damn, she got my ass, bruh.
So hell no, we didn't go to the pool with them, and for the next few days, we were on high alert.
We would only leave the crib in pairs, and one dude would stay back, strapped up with kitchen knives, ready to take on three big buff Mexican dudes.
Pause.
Until it was Monday, the night before our flight home. So we're packing everything, getting ready to go home, and I hear Billy shout, Chains?
Yo, what's up?
Yo, guess what I got, bruh?
Chlamydia?
No.
Gonorrhea?
What? No.
Herpes?
No, it's in my suitcase.
Your suitcase got herpes?
No, it's the key.
How the fuck?
I don't know!
Yeah. First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude! I mean, first dates from dating apps is kinda like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause we had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate?
Oh shit, Billy, Bob, and Chains. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica. She's new to our school. Hi.
What's up?
Hello, Jessica.
What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too!
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty-ass username, like, oh shit, it's, MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed. And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit.
Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy?
It's a girl.
Man, shut the fuck up. Oh,
Oh, shit, you're serious.
Wait, wait, so the whole time you were watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know.
And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
All right, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together.
And boom, all of a sudden we started forming a little friend group.
It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki.
And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing.
But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica.
And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a,
"So, I've been thinking, well, I like you.
I like you back.
So..."
And I typed up,
"Do you want to be my girlfriend?"
I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said,
she was like,
"Yes, I do.
And call me Josh Giddy, the way I just bagged this 12-year-old.
But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like,
"Hey, Chains, how are you?"
"Oh, you know, I'm good."
How are you?
"Oh, I'm good." But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like,
"Hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date."
"Yeah, that's a great idea."
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro.
We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro.
But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater, fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first dates. So we all walk up, hug, and then go to get our tickets. And I drop my entire life savings on her ticket, and then go into debt for mine, but nonetheless, we head to the theater.
"Wait, should we get popcorn?"
"Oh yeah, of course."
"Hey man, how much is a large popcorn?"
"Large popcorn, that'll be $10.
Damn!
What happened? Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I just realized they ran out of popcorn."
Are you fucking stupid?"
"Yeah, no, don't worry. Thank you, man. Is it no problem? Have a good day."
And we got to our seats and sat down, and the movie began.
And as the movie progressed, I realized it wasn't even too scary, but about 20 minutes deep, I get a tap on my shoulder from Bob.
And he gestures to me the fact that him and Kate are holding hands.
And I look over to Billy and Nikki, and they're all cuddled up and shit.
Which meant I had to make a move, bro, which inconveniently made my hands start sweating bullets.
So now I was in a position where I couldn't just grab her hand while my shit was sweaty as hell, cause then she'd think I'm weird. But then I also couldn't just sit there and do nothing the whole time, cause then she'd also think I'm weird. So I just started doing the only thing I could think of, which was blowing on my hand like some hot soup, and believe it or not, made me look fucking weird.
But at least my hand was dry, so I go and hold her hand, but when I do, I make a grave mistake. A tactical error, bro. When I held her hand, my hand was on top and hers was underneath against the armrest, and my dumbass was scared I was gonna crush her arm or some shit.
And I don't know where I got the idea that I even could crush her arm from, bro, cause those 12-year-old stickman arms couldn't crush a fucking pretzel if they tried.
But for whatever reason, I decided my best option would be to hover my arm slightly above hers so my 1-pound arm couldn't come down and fucking demolish her forearm.
And you know, this was cool for about 60 seconds until I started feeling the burn,
which started hurting so bad that I forgot I was even watching a movie. I was just 100% focused on thugging this shit out. And about an hour into the movie, I was just fucking shaking relentlessly. I mean, at this point, it wasn't even about not having this girl think I was weird, because Lord knows it was too late for that shit. But now it was about proving to myself that I could finish the movie this way. And sure enough, I did. But at what cost?
Wow, you were so scared you were shaking, huh?
No, I wasn't scared at all, actually.
Oh my god,
Are you sweating?
No.
So, you know, looking back, it wasn't my best performance, you know what I'm saying? But with that being said, after that triple date, Billy's girlfriend Nikki ended up breaking up with him and gave up on dating dudes as a whole. So, I mean, it could always be worse, bro.
Get your money, man, like a I'm hopeful. Yes, I am hopeful. But today, take this music and use it. Let it take you away and be hopeful, hopeful. And he'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay, cause we hope. Or wish that you could show some love. Then instead of hanging so much when you see some other people coming now. I wish I could teach the woman's being. While your music can have them chipping off the joy I bring. I wish that we can hold hands. Listen instead of dissing lessons from a grown man. And I wish the families that lock, but got love, get some stocks, brand new shock in the lock, but some gloves and I.
Halloween is the spookiest time of the year. Everywhere you look, it's vampires, killer clowns, old dudes in white vans trying to steal some children, which are all very scary things, especially killer clowns. But none of these spooky things scare me more than my worst fear. Going to jail, dropping the soap, and getting my booty snatched up. Now that's some real spooky shit right there. And I know some people are gonna be thinking, oh, that's just a myth, it's a stereotype, nobody actually gets their booty snatched up for dropping some soap. But when it comes to my booty, I don't wanna fuck around, and I sure as hell don't wanna find out. But everyone knows drinking can heavily influence your judgment, and on one specific day, my judgment was affected, and I found myself fucking around. And everyone knows what the chart depicts. The more you fuck around, the more you find out. This story takes place in grade 10. It was a crisp Halloween night. The houses were decorated, the leaves had fallen, and the jackals were lanterned. And as me and Billy walked down to the homie Bob's crib, we could pretty much smell that Halloween spirit. And when we knocked on Bob's door, we were surprised the homie Bob didn't open the door. It was Bob the Builder. Dude was fully suited up from head to toe. And when me and Billy seen that, we already knew we needed some costumes. So we go to Bob's closet and come out absolutely dripping into Mario and Luigi costumes, mustache and everything. But now that we undeniably had that shit on, we still had yet to find something to do. But lucky for us, the night was still young, so we got to brainstorming. Alright, it's Halloween, bro. We gotta do something. Yeah, let's go find a party. Bet, let me check where they're at. Okay. Yeah, there's no parties, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could trick or treat. Shit, we might have to, bro. And just as 3 15-year-olds decided we would knock on strangers' doors asking for candy, our Halloween was looking grim. And not in a good way. But you know what they say. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Because Bob pulls through and sets up a goddamn 3-man mission. And just like that, Halloween goes from an L to a W night. And I thought the homies and I couldn't get more hype, that is, until Bob pulls out a bottle of Hennessy. And you would have thought Peach took the kids the way I was abusing that bottle. And we passed it around until we were all tipsy. Then we started walking to Chloe's house for the little Halloween 3-man. And it was already 9 p.m. at this point, so we're walking through the neighborhood admiring these decorations when we see the creepiest house of them all. It was Chloe's crib. So we walked through a whole graveyard just to knock on the door. And Chloe opens it looking like a whole angel. I mean, literally, she had the halo and the wings and shit. So we go up to her room where her two friends Lucy and Mia were, and we sit on her bed. And I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward, bro. I was sitting there with my Mario fit, my little mustache, like, Chloe, why'd you choose to be an angel?
I don't know. I just liked it. Why'd you choose to be Mario?
Shit, you know, Mamma Mia, am I right?
Shit. Fuck.
Then Chloe whips out some tequila and all of a sudden we're playing drinking games and shit. But honestly, I was just trying to get drunk, so it'd be like, haha, drink up.
Oh no.
Alright, it's your turn. Wait, you're supposed to get it in my cup. What the fuck? And after purposely selling multiple games of tequila pong, I was feeling what some would call completely and utterly drunk as fuck. And next thing I know, we're playing spin the bottle. And I was up, so I spin the bottle and it spins and spins and lands on Chloe. And in my head, I'm thinking,
And just as Mario's about to get some peaches, we hear the door open downstairs and Chloe's like, oh shit, my parents are home, hide. So me and the homies run into her closet with a bottle of tequila and we can hear her dad come into the room.
Hey, what's going on up here?
Oh, you know, we're just watching scary movies.
Alright, I'll be downstairs watching TV. Let me know if you need anything.
Thanks, dad. And once her dad went downstairs, we all came out of the, we exited the closet and Chloe said, you guys gotta sneak out through the front door. Just be super quiet. And so we creep down the stairs and peek around the corner and Chloe's parents are right there with a clear sight of the door. So we know what we have to do. We take a shot for good measure and then run to the door. And my drunk ass couldn't even figure out how to unlock this fucking door.
Hey, who is that?
It's a me, I'm Mario. Then we ran out that joint and we didn't stop running until I got a call from one of my homies named Dave. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now? Oh, nothing really. Just drunk as hell running from Chloe's angry ass dad. Yo, that's what's up. Come link me and Joe at Stickman Elementary. And we had nothing else to do, so we pull up. And it's Dave, Dave's girlfriend, Joe, and Joe's girlfriend. And they got some couples costumes going, but I couldn't help but notice Dave and Joe were shiesty'd up. What are you? If the Simpsons grew up in Chicago? Nah, I'm just Homer. Yeah, but I mean, Homer doesn't usually wear a fucking ski mask. Oh, yeah, no. I just wore this because we graffitied the hell out of this school. Joe was here? And Dave was too? Bro, what the fuck were you thinking?
What? Oh, you want me to include your name too?
No, hell no. And just as we become guilty by association, four cop cars come zooming down the street. Oh shit, it's the cops, run! And the cops hop out of their cars and start running at us with flashlights. So we head for the forest, but to get to the forest, we had to run across this long ass muddy field. And in the middle of this field, there was a huge pothole, and how did I know that? Cause I seen Marge absolutely eat shit right in front of me. And don't get me wrong, I was absolutely plastered, but as the cops got closer and closer, I could practically see myself getting caught and dropping the soap, and you know I wasn't gonna let that happen. And so with all that adrenaline, I Mario jumped that fucking pothole and hauled ass into the forest. And right when you get into the forest, there was this deep creek with a log going across it. But when I look back, I see the cop's flashlight getting brighter and brighter, so I say fuck it and take a run at this log. I get a good two steps and then my drunk ass slips. Boom, right into the muddy creek. But I don't have time to give a single fuck. So I run through this waist-high muddy water, and then we regroup and check who made it. I see Bob, Joe, Dave, and Dave's girl. Yo, where the fuck is Billy? No, where's my girlfriend, bro? Oh, she ate shit a few yards back.
Wait, what? Is she okay? Did she get caught?
Wait, shut up. Billy's calling. Yo, where are you?
I'm hiding behind a tree right now. In the middle of the field. The cops are looking for me.
I bet we're coming.
I gotta go.
Fuck no, bro. If you go, you're gonna get caught. Listen, bro. I have to. He's the Luigi to my Mario. So I go back in to save Billy and my main man Bob comes with me. So we get to the edge of the forest and see Billy absolutely shitting his pants trying to hide from these cops. But they keep getting closer and closer. So Bob turns on his flashlight and both cops look at him.
He's right there.
Get over here.
And while the cops were looking for Bob, me and Billy both run for the street. And we ran, but once we were at least 5 blocks away, we text Bob like, bro, we both made it, are you good? And Bob's like, so Bob makes it out of the forest and we all link up. And we take a moment to appreciate the fact that none of us went to jail. And more importantly, none of us got our booty snatched up. And after our moment of appreciation, we were like, yo, maybe we should have just went trick-or-treating. Yeah, bro, some Reese's Pieces would hit right now. I mean, it's not too late to buy some candy. So we all go to the store and cop the biggest packs of candy we could find. Then we walked back to Bob's crib and enjoyed the rest of our night while fucking up some Halloween candy. There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin'. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie
homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally, dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like, what now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like,
Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part.
Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like white tea.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open. Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle. But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window. But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room. And then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor. And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window. Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boohoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying? But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hoes. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro. But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded ass question, like, oh hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
It's the name's for real. Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Frill. I'm Alice.
And so we all just started talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, oh we should. God, yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time. So I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do? But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back. And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, cause if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, cause I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce my dad or something? Like get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, cause he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson.
Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro.
And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna hang out with a girl who has a boyfriend, turn off your Snap Maps, bro.
Your very first time buying from the plug. It's a special moment. It marks the beginning of a bond. A bond so strong and full of trust that it can only compare to that of your barber. Now, your first time copping from the plug can go many different ways, but my first time took place way back when I was 7. Okay, that's cap, but I was 13. Now, as some 13-year-olds, my homies and I were oblivious of how to get our hands on some sweet, sweet, juicy, succulent, magic broccoli. But you know what they say, if there's a will, there's a way. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. Where do I buy weed? And somehow, one of the first things that came up was some motherfucker on Reddit, like, just order a pizza? The pizza delivery guy stands a 78% chance of being baked. Just ask him where to find some gas. Simple as that, man.
Oh, bet.
So we call up Little Caesars, like, hello, can I get a medium pepperoni pizza, please? Yeah. Yep. Alright, bet. And about 45 minutes later, the doorbell rings. We open the door to see some 48-year-old man who's probably going through his second divorce. Should we ask him?
Yo, he does not know where to find that shit. That'll be $13.69.
Here you go.
All right, have a good day.
But wait, do you happen to know where to find some of that? Some of that good dope?
Good dope? Oh, I see what you're saying. If he wanted some ranch dip, just say that.
Nah. What he's trying to say here is, do you know where to find some of that good shit?
Oh, you want some good shit, huh? You sure won't find it at Little Caesars. This pizza is ass. Go to Pizza Hut or something.
Well, shit. What the fuck just happened? Okay, the guy on Reddit said there's a 78% chance. Maybe we just got unlucky with this one. And our dumbasses decide to order from Little Caesars again.
That'll be 13.
Okay, new plan. Yo, I think I know a guy. So Bob locates a local plug Snapchat. Billy adds him, and bro adds back. So now we've located the plug, but we had no clue on how to go about hitting this man up. Hello, Frederick Gordon Williams. I have reason to believe you are a plug, and will be able to sell us some devil's lettuce, as we are minors, currently 13 years old. Just give us your home address and we will skirt and pull up soon. Sincerely, Billy.
instantly blocked, bro. Looking back, we sent the most federal message possible. We hit this man with his government name and asked him for his home address. But we had no clue that was federal. Like, huh, that's peculiar. I wonder why he blocked us. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. How to hit up the plug. Be simple and forward. Use slang. Act cool. And after conducting a little more research, we were ready to try again. So I added him on my Snapchat. Yo, 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 Big G. Let me cop some of that gas real quick, Cronum. Oh shit, he responded. How much you need? Shit, what do I say? Search it up. Three pre-rolls. Let me get three pre-rolls, fam. Alright, meet me at Stickman Park at 2:30. So now we'd set a place and a time to cop some grass. However, what Frederick Gordon Williams didn't know was that we were a whopping 13 years old. Keep in mind, we were still in middle school, but this dude was in grade 10. Shit, I'm pretty sure he was 20 years old, but still in grade 10, which was pretty fucking scary for us 7th graders. So we threw on some drip we believed would make us look a little bit older, and we headed off to purchase some of Satan's spinach. We arrived at the park a little bit early, and as we waited, we discussed our plan. If he asks how old we are, we're 16. If he asks our grade, we're grade 10. If he asks our pronouns, we are he/... Bro, Chili, he's not gonna interrogate us. It's a simple business transaction. Oh shit, there he is. And as Frederick approached us, I could feel my blood pressure rising. Some would say I was shitting bricks.
Yo, you got the money?
How much is it?
How much you got?
Well, I brought a $50 bill. Shit, it's usually 60, but I guess I can do it for 50.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
Holy shit, this is a fucking steal.
Here you go, but remember, this is OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000. It got its name for a reason.
Don't worry, we do weed all the time.
Yeah, we're super teenager and shit.
Yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Well, have a good day, sir.
And at last, 50 bones later, we had acquired some kush. Now, this wasn't our first time smoking, but our tolerance levels were low as fuck. So we pass around our first pre-roll, coughing up a fucking storm. And then we smoke up the next one, and the next one, until we're indubitably zooted.
God damn. Are y'all feeling it?
Shit, yeah, I'm feeling it. Well, what about you, Chains? Shit, I think he's feeling it. And as we made our way back to Bob's crib, my frame rates were dropping, my eyes were drying up, and my brain cells were unresponsive. In other words, I was fucking fried. We get back to Bob's crib and all I can think about is food. The munchies had hijacked my brain, but luckily for me, Bob's mom had just went shopping. Unluckily for Bob's mom, she was gonna have to go shopping again. The boys and I threw on The Amazing World of Gumball on TV and we fucking demolished every single crumb from Bob's cabinet. Cause goddamn, Frederick Gordon Williams was right. They don't call it the OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000 for no reason.
Yo, I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me? You know, like anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo. Yo, is this not relatable?
Bro, ain't no that fucking way.
Nah, bro.
What the fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro.
Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently, there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete dumbass. But way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bro. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden on top of the decision making skills of Joe Biden's son.
So with that being said, this story takes place way, 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 way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought,
well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home.
Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, you're English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh, shit, yeah, but, don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit, we are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro, let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food.
And the moment we seen all-you-can-eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen.
We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime.
Cause sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we were taking it raw. But at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel.
And man, I was full as hell. For like an hour, and then I was like, yo, who's trying to get some more food?
The fuck? Bro, we just ate a whole goddamn cow.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we probably just canceled out the life work of 5 vegans in one sitting.
Tight shit.
And it's already like 8 p.m, bro. It's dark as hell.
Well, I'ma go out anyways. You know why?
Why?
Cause we in Japan.
Man, get your fat ass out this goddamn hotel.
So I got my fat ass out the goddamn hotel and started walking around.
And all I took with me was my phone, the key to the hotel, about $100 worth of yen, and a smile on my face, knowing I had never in my life been robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. But little did I know, all that was about to change on this wild ass Friday night. Now, if there's one thing I learned about Japan, it's that everyone there is very kind, extremely polite, and a raging alcoholic. I'm talking they clock out of work at 6 p.m. and they clock into the bar at 6:02, and they don't leave until... I mean, shit, they don't leave until it's time to go back to work, bruh. Cause the Japanese people work hard, but their liver works harder. But regardless, I'm casually walking through the city when I hear someone yell from across the street.
Yo.
So naturally, I'm like, yo. And they're like,
come here.
And I'm like, shit, okay. So I walk across the street and see 3 individuals posted outside this little bar shop thing like,
yo, I'm Yuto. This is Emi. This is twin sister Shigo.
Hey, it's my first day working here. Come inside.
Shit, I don't know. I'm just trying to get some food somewhere tonight in Osaka. I don't know if it's like...
you want Osaka fucking night food?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I want Osaka fucking night food.
Read the sign.
Osaka fucking night food. Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. Shit,
you know what? Come get shots. I pay.
Shit, we in Japan. So they take me inside and everyone there is just happy as fuck. They got Rihanna playing on the speakers, dudes bringing out shots, and the chef was turning up so hard, dude started twerking, and damn, that boy was cooking.
Bro, what?
Shit, I mean, like, he was cooking with the food, like, man, fuck!
But the vibes were just so good and inviting that I felt like I just got welcomed into this Japanese family. And so we all cheers and take the shots.
And now I'm drinking. And I'm drinking with only one goal in mind. And that's to keep up with my newly found Japanese family. And so to prepare my stomach, I get me some Osaka fucking night food. And it was scrumptious. But as I'm slurping up this kebab, I see Emmy come back with 3 more shots. And she's like,
you want one?
Shit. We in Japan. So we take the shots and I'm talking to Emmy and one way or another we start talking about our alcohol tolerance.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it takes a lot for me to get drunk.
Not as much as me.
Whoa, is that a bet?
Yeah, it is. Bitch. So we're drinking everything in sight. Vodka, soju, sake, tequila. It's a competition. Now, I made the bet in the first place because I'm twice her size. But one thing I forgot to account for was the fact her entire lineage had been training generations for this very moment. So she's taking these shots to the face like... Well, shit, like Tiana Trump in her prime. And I'm going shot for shot with her. And after taking about 8 shots, I was... feeling it, bruh.
Yo, let's go play darts.
I mean, I never really played darts in my life, but shit,
We in Japan.
So we pull up to a darts bar, just me, Emmy, and Yuto. And I had never played darts a day in my life. But you ever just try some shit and you're just inherently good at it?
Yeah, right? Right? Yeah, that shit was not me, bro. I was dog shit.
I was out there looking like I was drunk as hell.
I was drunk as hell.
Cause in order to play, each person had to buy a soju.
So now I'm about 12 shots deep, throwing darts, trying to hit a circle the size of a pea, while this little Japanese girl's pushing me and shit.
Cause to her, this was a game. To me, this was survival.
Cause every time you lose, you gotta take a shot. And if I keep taking shots like this, these shots about to start taking me, bruh.
And sure as hell, I lost the first game.
I took my shot and Emmy's like, how drunk are you right now?
And I can't let her know I'm losing this bet, so I'm in that bitch like, drunk?
Nah. Shit, where I'm from, we brush our teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Ah, okay, then loser takes two shots.
Yeah, let's do it.
So one thing leads to another, and now I'm 16 shots deep, and Emmy's like,
I'm gonna go to the washroom, I'll be right back.
And then Yuto's like,
Yo, chains, we must talk.
Oh shit, yeah, what's up?
Now Yuto had a strong accent and very limited English, so it really went some like,
Emmy, bomber.
Huh?
Emmy, have bomber.
Yo, Yuto, I don't speak Japanese, dog.
No, Emmy, use bomber. Swipe left, swipe right, bomber.
Oh shit, Emmy uses bumble. Okay.
Yes. And she texts the bumper guy, come here.
Oh, hell nah, bruh. I'm gonna have to abort mission.
Me too.
You too?
Hi, Emmy to you, daddy. Fuck Emmy.
Oh shit, facts, let's do it.
So we sneak away to the elevator and we're spamming the up button trying to leave and this shit is just not coming, bruh.
So we both peek around the corner to see if she's coming and she notices us.
Oh shit, guys, we're leaving?
Yeah, we are leaving. Fuck.
So we all get in the elevator and Yuto whispers in my ear like,
when the elevator open, we run.
And I'm drunk as shit, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school, so as soon as the doors open, we hauled ass, bro. And I just kept running till Yuto was like,
stop, we go to bar.
And I'm just having a great time existing at this point, so I walk into this bar all drunk like,
where the hoes at? Oh shit. Where the bros at?
Right.
Yuto took me to a gay bar, bruh.
Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gay bar, but it was the fact that after drinking 16 shots, I just sprinted full speed away from a cute Japanese girl to run straight into a room filled with a bunch of sweaty gay dudes. And these motherfuckers were looking at me like I'm some fresh meat or some shit. And it really just had me questioning my entire life. I was in that bitch confused, frustrated, drunk as hell, ready to crash out. I was gonna leave that bar looking like, I would like
a fruit explosion.
Wait, no, Sebastian, what the wrong video? What the fuck?
Oh, hey, is that Diddy?
So you're trying to see a fruit explosion, huh?
No. So I left the gay bar, called up Emmy, we link back up, and the first thing she says to me is,
fuck you.
Fuck me? What? Nah, fuck you.
Why'd you run from me?
Bruh, you were inviting bumble dudes and shit.
What? No, what are you even talking about?
I mean, Yuto said, like, you know what? Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's go to the club.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. So we're at the club doing club shit, and after an hour or so, she's like,
let's take some shots.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan.
I am blackout drunk, bruh. I don't even know how many shots deep I am at this point, but all I know is I'm so drunk, I gained the ability to fucking teleport.
So I'm in the club, and as soon as I blink, I'm in a bar. Then I'm in a club, back to a bar, to a new club, McDonald's, bar, karaoke, club, bar, love hotel.
Love hotel? Man, what the fuck?
You said you wanted to sleep.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, nah, I probably said some shit like that. I don't fucking know.
So we walk into our room, and the very first thing I notice,
the hub on the TV, vibration devices on the bed, protection everywhere. Shorty just lured me to the Japanese freak chamber, bruh.
I blink, and we teleport to the bed. But we were just talking like,
yo, Yuto said you were inviting dudes from Bumble.
Oh my god, okay, Yuto's a liar. Listen, I gotta tell you something, but you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, nah, I won't tell a soul, you know? I will not post this on YouTube, clip it up, post it on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Reels, or anything like that, you know? Like, yeah, that'd be weird.
okay.
Okay. So Yuto's homeless.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, he just goes to the gay bar and then goes back to a dude's house and sleeps there.
Damn. Oh, man, I didn't even know.
And then he steals their money.
Wait, he what?
Yeah, he just steals their money.
Wait, but it's just the gay dudes, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the gay dudes.
I check my pockets, the money's gone.
Fuck.
You said it's only the gay dudes.
Yeah, nah, he just steals from the gay dudes.
Fuck, I wanna go home, bruh.
So I leave the Love Hotel, and at this point, the sun is coming up, and I'm still drunk as hell, walking like a zombie.
I pull out my phone to go use Google Maps,
and that shit dies, bro. So now it's just me and my last few brain cells trying to make it to my hotel before I pass out. And I'm stepping over Japanese motherfuckers, blackout drunk, sleeping on the sidewalks, thinking I can't end up like them. But honestly, I have no clue where I am, no clue where the hotel is, and no clue what time it is. And after what felt like hours of aimlessly walking around, I blinked and I fell asleep, bruh. And when I woke up, I was in my bed. I genuinely don't know how, who, what, when, or why, but shit, I wasn't complaining. But by the time I got out of bed, it was 6 p.m. and I didn't remember shit. I had to go through my camera roll and piece everything together like The Hangover. But at least that Friday night, I learned a very valuable lesson. Don't try to outdrink the Japanese motherfuckers, bro. You'll lose every time.
Imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair. You try them on. You check them out. And you cop them. And even though you spent your last $200 on these shoes, you're happy. Because you feel fresh as fuck, and these J's might actually get you some bitches. But as you're leaving the mall, a gang of motherfuckers wearing shiesties take those J's right off your feet. Leaving you shoeless, broke, depressed, and with absolutely zero bitches. Now, personally, I wouldn't let that slide. However, when I was just a young, wholesome boy in 7th grade, I still wouldn't have let that slide. But I was weak as shit, so it would have slid anyway. I mean, in 7th grade, I could have got my ass beat by Hezbollah, bruh. I was a walking lick, which is exactly why I got a story for y'all today. So as I said, this story takes place in 7th grade, where I was young, innocent, and built like a string bean, bro. So one Friday night, me, Bob, and Billy were going to this girl's house for the three-man mission. The plan was simple. There was three of us and three of them. We would put on a scary movie, and if everything went to plan, we would get some cheeks. Now, just earlier that day, I had copped some fresh ass Jordans, so I've got a little confidence boost as we walk up to this girl's house. So we knock on the door, they open it, and we go inside. Now we stuck to the plan. We put on some cheesy horror movie, and one thing led to another, and by the end of the movie, Bob had all three girls, bro, and me and Billy were in the corner playing Bloons Tower Defense. Don't ask me how this shit happened, I don't want to talk about it. So after hours of me and Billy straight fumbling, we all decide to go home. And although I was a little disappointed in my performance tonight, I put on my brand new uncreased Jordans and I remembered, damn. Even Curry airballs sometimes. Now the bus route back to Bob's crib took two buses. So we hop on the first bus, it takes us to the next stop, and as we're getting off, we see the second bus we need drive right by us. Fuck, is that our bus? Damn, yeah it is. Wait, check when the next one comes. Yeah, it shouldn't be long. Damn, bruh, the next bus comes in an hour. So we have no choice but to wait at the bus stop for an hour. So we wait, and at this point, it's already getting late. I check the time, and it's already 11 p.m. As we were sitting there, bored as hell, waiting for this bus to come, one of the other buses stops in front of us to let someone off. The person gets off, and as the bus starts leaving, we hear this loud thud come from the bus. What the hell? What was that? Oh shit. It's a baton. And as we're analyzing this baton that seems to have fallen out of the sky, some motherfucker wearing a shiesty walks up to Billy like, "Give me that shit." And straight snatched the baton out of Billy's hands. And Billy froze up. Bro was scared shitless, straight bamboozled. And the way the bus stop was set up was there was a main road, the bus stop, and behind the bus stop was a small hill with bushes on top. And when I say this shit looked like something out of a movie, I mean, this dude wearing a shiesty walks back up to the top of the hill, and a group of five other dudes walk out from behind the bush, and they're shiestied up too, bro. They had to have been in at least grade 12, and to a 7th grader, that is scary as fuck. And I was no genius, but as that group of shiesties came out of the bushes looking like a GTA 5 cutscene, I came to the consensus that they were up to no good. Yo, those Jordans are looking my size. And this was the moment I realized I was about to get my shit robbed. So I started analyzing my surroundings and calculating my options. Maybe I can talk my way out of this. Hey sir, how was your day today?
Shut up.
I said, what size are the shoes? Damn, I can't fight them. It's a 3-on-5, and they got the high ground, and they got a baton, bro. They would knock my ass out and take the shoes. But I'm fast. So if I take a right, then make a left, there's no way they can catch me. Wait, fuck, I can't run. I'd crease my Jordans. And just as I had ran out of options, Billy says the last words I would expect to come out of this man's mouth. Wait, Ethan? Yo, who the fuck? Oh shit, Billy. Oh, I didn't know it was you, bro.
Man, Ethan, you had me scared for a second.
Damn,
man.
My bad, pimp, my bad,
yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, no, you're good. How's your mom doing?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good, yeah. It's great to see you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you too, bro. See you around.
All right, peace out.
Y'all, don't worry. I seen a kid over there with some new forces we could snatch.
Oh, yes, sir.
I bet.
Man, he's a good dude. Nah, bro. He just tried to rob me. Who the fuck was that? Oh, that's my longtime homie, Ethan.
Why do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We went to the same preschool.
Same preschool? That dude looks 20, bruh.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He just got held back a few times.
Held back in preschool? How the fuck do you get held back in preschool?
Oh, he used to beat up the other kids and then take their toys.
Oh shit. Makes sense.
So we bust back to Bob's crib, and as we're walking to Bob's front door, I stepped in mud. Bruh.
Yo, Chains, I'll pay you $5 if you pull that fire alarm right there.
Oh. Yo, run.
Chains, do you know why I've called you into my office today?
No.
You see, that little stunt you pulled has led you to a 1-week suspension.
God damn it. What does suspension mean?
It means for the next week you are prohibited from coming to school.
Fuck. What does prohibited mean?
Chains, you can't come to school for the next week.
Hold up, so you're telling me because I pulled the fire alarm, I don't have to go to school for a week?
Yes, it's a suspension. You are...
Man, I got a love-hate relationship when it comes to getting suspended from school. Like, on one hand, shit, you just don't have to go to school. But on the other hand...
Suspended? Oh, I'm about to suspend that ass. Ah, fuck. Ow. Shit.
Alright, I don't recommend getting suspended. That shit is not worth it. But how do I know? This story dates way, way, way back to grade 7. It was a cold winter day at Stickman Middle School. In fact, it was freezing cold, and this gave Billy a great idea.
Yo, the pond behind the school is frozen. Let's go fuck around on it.
Oh, I'm down.
Okay, bet.
So after school, we got a group of 5 homies, and we headed over to the frozen pond. Now, to paint the picture, behind Stickman Middle School was Stickman Elementary School, and behind Stickman Elementary School was this frozen pond, meaning we had to walk through Stickman Elementary School to get to this pond. But nonetheless, we walk up to the pond, and instantly I see this big red sign that says, "Hazard, do not step on ice."
Guys, the sign says, "Do not step on ice."
Man, what the sign? Watch this.
Oh shit, look, it's sturdy as fuck.
Yo, fuck.
And even though Billy's dumbass fell in, the ice was actually pretty sturdy. So you know, we're gliding around, eating shit, hitting the meanest ballerina spins you've ever seen, and eating shit. And we were having some good old harmless fun. In fact, our grade 7 selves were having the time of our lives on this frozen water. That is until...
What do you guys think you're doing?
We were just walking on the ice.
Did you guys not see the sign?
What sign?
I could have swore I put a sign right here.
Nope, no sign at all.
There was no sign.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay, but you guys have to get off the ice.
Well, why? Nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah, we're safe.
Okay, it's your choice. You're gonna regret this.
So we continued with our ice skating antics for approximately 10 more minutes. Until the same lady came back up to the pond, but this time she was equipped with a Sony Alpha A7 mirrorless digital camera with the Extendo lens. In other words, she was quite literally about to catch us in 4K. But at least she doesn't know what school we go to.
Hey, what school do you guys go to?
Not Stickman Middle School.
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
Fuck, she knows.
We had to think quick. How are we gonna smoothly get out of this situation without getting in trouble? So we called a boys' emergency meeting. We huddled up and discussed our best plans to get out of this situation. And after combining all of our genius grade 7 brains, we made the ultimate plan. If we started mooning the camera, it would then be illegal for her to take pictures of our middle school cheeks. I don't know how this became our best option, but regardless, we put the plan in motion. I mean, me personally, I got a little shy and kept my pants up, but some of the boys were out there going crazy, looking more caked up than Summer Rae. And after a little while, the lady must have decided it wasn't a great look to have a camera pointed at some 12-year-old cheeks, and she left. Which means the plan had worked. Flawlessly. Now the next day at school, I had completely forgot about it, to be honest. But strangely enough, while I was sitting in math class, I hear the little class phone start ringing. Hello? Oh yes, he's here. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll send him your way. Thank you. Chains, Mr. Principal wants to talk to you. And at this point, I should have picked up on why I was being called to the office, but I had complete faith in our foolproof plan of mooning this stranger that the thought of being in trouble didn't even cross my mind. That was until I walked into the office to see every single one of the boys sitting in Mr. Principal's office. But Mama didn't raise a snitch, so we started capping our asses off.
So, what did you guys do after school yesterday?
Nothing.
I played Fortnite.
I was doing a homework.
Don't play stupid with me. I got a call from Mrs. Principal over at Stickman Elementary. So tell me. What were you doing on the pond yesterday?
I wasn't there.
It wasn't us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what a pond is.
I see. Well, I've got evidence.
And as he shows us this undeniable evidence, you can see this dude Billy's cheeks in the corner of one of the pictures. So I slowly look over at Billy, and he looks over at me.
If you don't stop laughing right now, you're all suspended. That's it. You're all suspended.
And as I explain the situation to my mom, let's just say Mama Chains was not happy.
Listen, I know some of y'all have already gone to school high, but for those of you who haven't, don't do it, bro. I only went to school baked one time in my life, and after that experience, I never did it again. So, this story takes place on your average Wednesday. I was still in grade 10 at this point, but I have to note, I was not a super experienced smoker. However, with that being said, I did have some homies in grade 11 that, let's just say, they knew what they were doing. But still, my day started off like your average high schooler. Alarm goes off, hit snooze for 15 minutes, get up, stare at the wall for approximately 10 minutes, shower, eat, and head to school. This particular day, I remember being a little bit anxious because I knew I had to present my speech that I had just written the night before. But English is at the end of the day, I'm chilling for now. Plus, my first class is PE, so you know how it goes. I smoked some kids in dodgeball, I went to my next class, got smoked in math, the bell rings, and I dip for lunch.
Guys,
see y'all boys.
Guys,
yeah, peace out, man.
I do.
So I link up with the gang for lunch, and we kind of mob around the school for a minute, but we end up just chilling in this forest right outside our school. And this is when one of my experienced friends whips out that Zaza. We'll just call him Jimmy for now. Jimmy just asks everyone, are you dudes trying to smoke?
Yeah, for sure.
Hell yup. Nah, I'm all good. At first, I was the only person who didn't want to. But as I sat there, feeling the vibes, intaking the positive energy from the surrounding vegetation, I came to the conclusion the vibes were right. It was just me and my trusted homies, secluded in a peaceful area. I mean, what's the worst that could happen, right? And man, when it comes to drinking, I'm a certified heavyweight champion. But for whatever reason, when it came to smoking, I had the tolerance of a newborn baby. But then again, what would I look like taking this little ass inhale? So I did what any dumbass individual would do.
Yo, look at Chains. Yo,
chill, dude. Damn. So my friends are low-key hyping me up. And I'm out here thinking, I am such a cool guy. I am literally that guy. I'm literally that guy. But much like everything else, everyone forgot about it in 5 minutes. But I'm still left with all this tetrahydrocannabinol compounds waiting to alter my neural chemistry. So as we're walking back to the school, the THC raids my brain like the FBI. And I just eat the ground, bro. Had me looking like my controller just disconnected. And my friends just look at each other like, fuck. Maybe you should just go home, bro. Yeah, dude. There's no way you'll be able to go to class like this. So we make our way over to this bench outside, and I'm weighing out my options. I'm trying to find the best scenario to get out of this alive. I narrowed it down to roughly 2 options. I can either go home, get whooped by my mom, and get grounded for another year and a half, or I could thug it out, just go to class, running the risk that my teacher might find out I'm baked. So me and my friends are brainstorming, using the good old pros and cons method. Going home. Pros. Cons. I will get whooped. Staying at school. Pros. Cons. I might get whooped. Staying at school it is. The bell rings, my friends wish me good luck, but my next class was science, and I had the number one homie in that class. Bob. So Bob is just being a W mans. He's absolutely carrying me in this group science experiment while I'm literally passed out sleeping on the desk. Bell rings, Bob wishes me good luck, and dips. Now I'm all on my own, but I just got one more class. I'm almost done. What class do I even have again? Oh yeah, English, right? So I make my way to English, I sit down. Alright, so today we're doing our speeches.
Speeches?
And my English teacher was the type of teacher who loves to catch people lacking and just put them on the spot. So of course, he sees me on another planet and decides to call me out.
Chains, how about you go first?
I'm not prepared. Just get up there, bud.
Okay.
Alright, whenever you're ready. Chains, you can start now.
Okay.
So my speech, it's about the topic of the speech, it's dinosaurs. So Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms.
Yeah, it changed. Don't worry about it. You can sit down. You could just go tomorrow. It's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, this is why you don't show up to school high, bro.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds. We're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Woo. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating?
No,
but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block.
Trick or treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique. As well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw, and it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth, if earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?"
I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run.
So me, Billy, and Bob start
booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies, like bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah! 360 Ooga Booga Booga!
We get back to Billy's crib. Holy shit, get in, get in!
Lock it, lock it, lock it!
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Getting baked is usually an exceptional experience that consists of eating food, laughing, questioning your entire existence, eating food, watching Netflix while eating more food. And you know, that's great and all, but every once in a while, that Zaza can take you to the deepest, darkest depths of the shadow realm. And trust me, that shit is not fun. So I wake up on a sunny Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. You know, a respectable sleep-in. I hop in the shower. It was a good shower. I check the Clash of Clans base. I didn't even get raided. I eat some scrambled eggs and toast. Shit was scrumptious. And all of these things led me to believe, damn, today's gonna be a good ass day. But little did I know, today would be the day I would look death in the eyes and fight for my life. So I finish my scrambled eggs and I pull up the boys group chat and I'm like, what's the move? And Bob's like, I don't know, let me check. So I'm like, okay, bet. There's no moves, bro. And because there was nothing to do, the boys and I would have no choice but to reside to the default move. Let's just smoke. Bet. Calm down. So the default move always takes place at the boys' home base. Bob's crib. Now Bob's crib was the spot to be baked for many valid reasons. First of all, bro's basement was simply comfy as fuck. Couches on lock, blankets always ready with infinite pillows. And Bob's dog Walter was the fucking goat. But most importantly, Bob's cupboard was always stacked. I mean, this cupboard has enough food to feed a village. This cupboard has more snacks than 7-Eleven. And this cupboard had enough calories to be in a Nikocado avocado video. And that shit was perfect. Because goddamn, when I get baked, I become a certified fat ass. So you know the drill. We roll up and got a joint in rotation. And honestly, I don't know what got into me this night because I was absolutely reefing that hoe. Yo, chill. God damn. Fuck it. Let's roll another one. So we rolled up another J and I just simply could not be stopped. And I specifically remember asking, how high can I really get? And after about 30 minutes of me going bananas on these joints, I found the answer to my question. Pretty fucking high. I mean, I was beyond zooted. Like at that point, time was literally in slow motion. And it was one of those highs when your senses become extra sensitive. So I was just posted up in a blankie while munching on some pizza pops. And I was truly invested in those pizza pops. I mean, in that moment, I thought I was the pizza pop, bro. But once I finished the pizza pops, we all decided it would be a good idea to go for a walk. However, the moment I stood up, I started feeling peculiar. But regardless, we went outside and at this point, it was already dark. Because in the time we were smoking at Bob's crib, the sunny Saturday turned into a very cloudy, dark, and cold Saturday night. So Billy and Bob are walking towards this creepy looking forest and I'm like, alright, I think I'm too high to go into this forest, bro. Nah, don't worry. I've been in this forest a million times. I know it like the back of my hand. All right, then. And as soon as we step into the forest, I start hearing shit, bro.
Yo, did you hear that?
Hear what?
It sounds like someone's in the bushes.
Nah, you're just baked as shit.
So we continue walking for about 5 minutes, and out of nowhere, it starts pouring. And this was really the point where everything shifted, because I was far too faded to be out in a dark, cold, rainy forest. So I'm like, alright, let's just go back to Bob's.
Yeah, facts. I didn't know it was gonna be raining.
But as we're walking back through the forest, I can undoubtedly hear something in the bushes.
Okay, what the fuck was that?
Oh shit, run!
Aw, hell nah!
Bob and Billy start hauling ass, and scared as hell, I slowly turn around to see a fucking demon coyote pack looking at me like I'm lunch, bro. And this had to be because of the second joint, but for a moment, I looked this coyote dead in the eyes, And I saw death. I saw death, bro. And in that moment, I gathered all the functioning brain cells I had left to just run. And I couldn't see where I was going. I was just hauling ass. And when I looked back, all I could see was the devious coyote eyeballs staring into my soul. And the next thing I knew, I stepped in a pothole and my trajectory completely changed from running away to eating shit, bro. And when I say falling felt like it was in slow motion, I mean I had to have been falling for 5 minutes. But once my face made contact with the ground, this is how I went out. I was about to get packed up by a pack of coyotes. As they approached, I was saying my goodbyes. But out of nowhere, I hear something in the distance. This motherfucker Bob drop kicks a coyote in the face. And it had to have been that Zaza that made these coyotes look so devious. Because after Bob socked that jit in the face, they weren't so scary. I mean, they all just ran away and dispersed. They had me like, yeah, and don't come back. Bitch. So we walk back to Billy's crib and I'm still tweaking off those joints. I'm like checking behind me, checking beside me, checking the sky to make sure no evil crows pick me up and kidnap me. But we get back to Bob's crib and I sit down on the couch. And just as I finally felt relieved, I get jump scared by Walter. Bro pretty much gave me a heart attack. I thought the coyotes had invaded Bob's crib to come and kill me. But it was just good old Walter coming to chill with the boys. So I got some more pizza pops and we lived happily ever after.
Listen, I am no criminal. In fact, I would consider myself a good Samaritan. Type of dude who helps grandmas cross the street. Type of dude who might even pick up some trash now and then. And absolutely not the type of dude to go to jail. Now, I know for a fact I would never go to jail. Not because I never break the law, but because I'm fast as fuck. In the streets, they used to call me Usain Jr., bro. So there was no way you would catch me getting arrested by some 50-year-old man with a beer belly and a donut in his hand. I would be out here crossing bro up, hit him with a little body faint, leave him in the ER, bro. But with that being said, I needed that speed. I needed that speed to get out of all the dumbass situations I put myself in. Cause I'm still no valedictorian, but back in grade 9, I was nominated stupidest dumbass, and all the runner-ups were my homies. So evidently we had some stupid ass ideas. Like I remember this one time we were all looking for something to do. And if you're from a small boring city like mine, you would know there's not many fun things to do besides smoke and break the law. So what did we do? We smoked? And then we broke the law. This story takes place at Billy's crib. So it's just me, Billy, and Bob. We're chilling playing PlayStation or whatever. And Billy's like, damn, I'm bored as hell. We should go do something. Yeah, facts. What's something fun we could do? Shit, we could have some girls over. We got no hoes, bruh. Holeless. Shit, I forgot about that. I mean, we could get some food. You got money? You're broke, bitch. Damn, you're right.
Wait, we could smoke. You got grass?
Yeah, I do actually.
Oh shit, bet. So we all go outside, roll up the grass, and get baked. Then we go back inside and hop back on the PlayStation. Damn, I'm low-key still bored. Yeah, let's have some girls.
You still have no hoes, bro.
Fuck. I mean, we could have a bonfire. Oh shit, that's not a bad idea.
Genius.
So you think this is a good place? Nah, it's too out in the open.
What about here?
Nah, it's too close to the school. What about here? Oh shit, this is kinda nice. So we were looking around, we gathered up the best sticks to build the fire, and we set them up quite nicely. We lathered those bad boys in some gasoline, and apparently my high ass didn't know how fire and gas worked. So I leaned over the fire, and when I go to light it, for a second my life flashed before my eyes. So I quickly jumped back, but my friends and I are baked to perfection. So they're like, yo dude, are you good? Yeah man, I think so. Are my eyebrows still there? You never had eyebrows. Oh, okay. So we're all just staring at the fire in silence, thinking about random things. Damn, I need me a 4-piece Popeyes combo right now. The meaning of life, it must be to evolve and become the best person you can be. God damn. Bob's mom is so hot. And as we're just chilling, watching the fire, it was pretty much sending out a smoke signal, and anyone in the vicinity probably saw it. And soon we started hearing a siren in the distance. Guys, it's definitely just an ambulance. I mean, it's getting kind of loud, don't you think? No, we're chilling. Fuck, bro, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm way too high for this right now. So Billy and Bob just leave, and I'm thinking, they're just being some scaredy cats. They're gonna come back. It's literally just an ambulance. Right? Man, it's getting kinda close. Oh shit, they're definitely coming for me. And then the siren just stops. Oh, I guess they're not coming for me. And then I look behind me, and I make direct eye contact with two officers. My heart literally stopped. Oh, you're fucked. Hey! I grabbed the gas and the gas, and with all the adrenaline I had, I literally jumped on the fire, stomped it out, and hauled ass. Hey, get back here! I'm being chased by these two cops, and I am red-handed as fuck. I mean, I'm holding a liter of gasoline, a lighter, and the kush while I'm baked as hell, running from these cops. And they were on my ass, bro, because let's be real, I could have outrun these fat asses any day of the week, but I'm at a major disadvantage here. Like, I have to run carrying the can of gas while I'm zooted, bro. So sheer speed was not gonna do it, but I had to get them off my tail, or else I was going to jail. So I take a sharp right, and then I'm faced with these two paths. I hit a quick left, and as soon as I get out of their sight, I slide into these bushes smooth as butter. And I was scared shitless. Man, I can't go to jail. I dropped the soap way too much for all that. Holy shit, they're right there. Where'd he go? We almost had him. And we would've had him too if your fat ass didn't eat so many damn donuts. Shut up, Robert. That's why Dave fucked your wife. As soon as it was clear, I booked it straight to Billy's house. Oh, guys, it wasn't an ambulance. No shit. And I think it's safe to say I was paranoid for the rest of the night. Yo, I really appreciate you guys, so I'm gonna be following back a bunch of people on my Instagram, so go check it out. Peace.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem, like...
Oh, hey buddy, welcome back, we missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chillin'.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
Well, I don't really want to talk about
what family stuff.
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like, during the whole pandemic, One of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of, "Mrs. Farrell, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson." Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today. I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped,